Hello and welcome to IdeaGen's 17 Days of Sustainability. Today we are so excited to have with us Andrew Zeppa, a partner in Gallup's London office. Andrew, welcome.
Hi, delighted to be here. Thanks, John.
Thank you so much for being here today. We are so excited to share your insights with our global audience. And so to kick things off, can you tell us a little bit more about yourself as well as your roles and responsibilities at Gallup?
Andrew Zeppa, partner based in Gallup's London office. So I'm responsible for Gallup's government division and public sector division across the EMEA region. So I lead all of our engagements and collaborations with governments, NGOs, charities, and foundations. I'm just trying to support them having the right data in hand for robust policymaking. Sounds incredibly simple, incredibly straightforward, but all too often these organizations are either using measurement frameworks which aren't necessarily used for the purposes they're originally designed for, or they're using data sets about a decade out of date. So my team and I work across the entirety of that data value chain, everything from the development of new measurement constructs, all the way through to validation of pre-existing ones, all the way through to global upscaling, reporting and dissemination. And so I'm incredibly privileged to have a vehicle called the Gallup World Poll, which implements nationally representative surveys in approximately 140 countries every single year. And so this is a really unique window into the fears, hopes, and dreams of about 98% of the world's adult population.
No, that's truly fascinating and absolutely essential. And as we work to get out of this global pandemic, as well as ultimately achieve the United Nations Sustainable Development Goals, what has your data shown of our progress towards goal number 2, zero hunger?
So one of the projects we collaborate with the United Nations on is global measurement of SDG 2.1.2. So that's the measurement of global food insecurity using the food experience scale. And so unfortunately, one of the key findings we've seen with the food insecurity experience scale is the fact that food insecurity has actually been trending upwards. So essentially, there's more people going without food. And that's been the case since 2014. And so ultimately, we see that this distribution of total food isn't actually getting out there. The situation's getting worse. So in the last State of Food Insecurity in the World report, SOFI, which is put out by the Rome-based agencies, 2 billion people across the world are suffering from food insecurity. And I suppose most alarmingly is that certain sections of the population are being left behind. And at the global level, we see the prevalence of food insecurity at both a moderate and severe level to be higher amongst women than men.
Wow, 2 billion people still going with food insecurity. That's a staggering number and something that we certainly hope to get closer to achieve that zero hunger goal. And you work to develop large-scale projects with global impact. You've talked a little bit about it. But can you talk about some of those projects you've worked on and what sort of progress towards achieving the goals have they contributed to, particularly goal number 2?
As mentioned, one of the key insights from our work was identifying this global gender gap in food insecurity. And so a lot of it cannot be explained just purely due to income. Or education or traditional demographic characteristics. Within the 2019 State of Food Insecurity Report, FAO and the other Rome-based agencies pointed to something being more intrinsically sticky there. Essentially, forms of discrimination which create this more sticky levels of food insecurity. And so Gallup, in collaboration with the World Food Programme, has helped develop this project called Gender Equality for Food Security Project. So essentially looking at multiple dimensions of women's empowerment in order to explore how empowerment can actually be used as a mechanism for facilitating greater levels of food security across the world.
That sounds absolutely essential and something that certainly needs to get further progressed. But you've helped lead the development of a new globally comparable measure of diet quality. What did that look like and where did that drive come from?
So obviously being fairly closely involved with the global development of the food insecurity experience scale, one of the key questions that keeps on coming up is essentially we understand access to food through the scale, but very little about what people are actually eating. The Institute for Health Metrics points to dietary risks as the number one risk factor globally for deaths and disability. So in fact, poor diets pose a greater risk to health than alcohol, drugs, tobacco, and unsafe sex combined. Yet despite this, nobody's really measuring on a national or a global level diet quality in a comparable fashion. So this was one of the key findings highlighted by a global panel report a number of years ago. And so, I like a red rag to a bull, essentially, I recognize that there was a huge opportunity to address this data gap and essentially create a better world for all.
Wow. Yeah, no, that's something that certainly isn't publicized, that aspect actually has a larger impact than things like that you had mentioned, drugs and alcohol. So something that certainly needs to be brought to light. And so what sort of setbacks have you seen towards achieving the United Nations Sustainable Development Goals? And where do you think the best strategy to get back on track?
So as mentioned previously, we've been seeing food insecurity trend in the wrong direction. And that's due to a plethora of different reasons. Some is due to conflict, whether civil war. We see those figures also being exacerbated by climate-related shocks. But even in some peaceful settings, just due to increasing inequality within countries, we're seeing that gap grow larger in terms of access to food. So ultimately, we need a more considered basis around ensuring that everybody has equitable access to food. I suppose that's the key principle behind that.
No, I completely agree that everyone does need more access to food. And, you know, that leads me into my next question, which is, why do you feel that now more than ever, we need effective leadership and innovation to help us push through this global pandemic, and why?
Ultimately, I suppose some of the biggest inhibitors to us achieving the SDGs is inertia. Organizations and individuals do things the way they've done it because that's the way they've always done it. So ultimately, we need pioneers, innovators, collaborators to work together in order to imagine differently, think differently, in order so that we can actually do things differently and achieve different outcomes.
Absolutely. And that's a big portion of IdeaGen's mission, is bringing together those innovators, those collaborators to help achieve goals and help push innovation. And so why do you see cross-sector collaboration and innovation as so vital to helping to solve so many of the world's most vexing issues? And to take it just a step further, how do you infuse collaboration into your daily mission to successfully achieve your goals?
Ultimately, the magnitude of the problems which we're wrestling with here are larger than any single individual or any single entity. As a consequence, we need to work together in order for everyone to bring their jigsaw piece to the table in order so that we can actually create these truly global solutions. We use exactly that approach in terms of our projects. And so recognize that either in terms of by leveraging pre-existing literature, doing thorough literature reviews when we're doing new instrument developments, the creation of technical advisory groups, so making sure we bring all of the leading stakeholders to the table while we're doing this design process. And also, perhaps most importantly for an organization like Gallup, making sure that we bring the voice of everyday individuals to the table as well. So throughout all of our cross-country comparable work, we ensure that we implement a variety of cognitive testing in multiple countries, languages, regions, with different individuals at different levels of education and economic development, just so that their voices are also brought into the frame as we're developing these our thinking.
Absolutely, and truly fascinating. And you may have mentioned it earlier, but could you really recap, what are your three pieces of advice that you would give in order to help achieve all of the 17 United Nations global goals?
So I suppose first one is humility. We don't have all the answers right now. But ultimately, by working together, we can piece the right answers together. Which brings me to two, collaboration. Our species is the dominant force on the planet due to our ability to create a common vision and work towards together to achieve that. We need to use this not to build back better post-COVID, but to build forward better, to create and envisage this better world for all, and really work towards that. And then finally, I suppose, hope isn't a strategy, so I'd say hope and action. Although as a community, we're not on track to meet some of the most important metrics of human development, I believe we still can achieve those and we can still find a better way.
Humility, collaboration, and hope and action, truly inspiring words. And so going forward, what is your post-summit ask for our global audience as we continue to change the world?
Inertia is probably the single biggest thing that's preventing us from achieving the SDGs. This whole attitude of this is the way we've always done things, that's not going to create the innovation and the change we need in order to meet these audacious and ambitious sustainable development goals. So we need to leverage passion in order to overcome that, and not only to ensure that we're acting ourselves, but to instill that passion upon other individuals to deliver upon that common vision.
Absolutely. It is said that sometimes the most dangerous words are, it is always done this way. And it's important to understand that certain problems, certain issues need a different perspective. They need a different route to get achieved. And it certainly sounds like you and your work at Gallup are certainly hoping to achieve that. So Andrew Zeppa from Gallup, thank you so much for joining us this morning. Thank you for sharing your global insights. And thank you for all the work that you do.
Thank you, John. It's been a huge pleasure.
We'll be right back.